It's Thursday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now two guys who couldn't make it as radio talk show hosts, but they play one on the internet. It's Patch and Switch.
Dude, it's...
There is mass fandom.
It's unprecedented at the Channel 9 stage to have a crowd this large. And it's also unprecedented with the fact that we actually have an entire support crew being able to do this for. We have an audio engineer, we've got a floor manager, we've got a guy working on a live feed, we have a graphic artist, we've got a TriCaster, we've got a freaking boom camera going on. And on top of that, we must have at least almost 12, 13 people? No, how many? 20, 30 people over there, man. This is insane.
It's absolutely insane. I can't believe you're actually talking.
I know, I'm trying to talk. I'm a little bit rusty. I've got my Demi Moore voice on today.
Demi Moore?
Demi Moore voice on.
It doesn't really sound like
Demi Moore. No, it doesn't sound like that.
I'm trying. So, for those of you guys watching live here on Channel 9, this is the Patch and Switch Show. It's a little bit of a kind of live internet radio broadcast podcast kind of thing that we do normally on Fridays, but this happens to be a live from TechEd North America version of the Patch and Switch Show.
You got it. And if you wanted to call into the show because you're one of the regular members, I know that's not happening because they're all over there. So no one's going to be calling in, but
actually,
you can't take calling shows anyway.
That's true, but we also have participation in the chat room. Can IT Pro, yes. J-Shock, K.O. Beckman is there. That's about it. I have a feeling that J-Shock is probably just going to be posting everything into the chat room.
Yeah.
For all the people over there as we kind of start this chaotic thing.
Good.
Known as the Passion Switch.
And if you did want to interact with us in some way, shape, or form, you can always come down the stage if you're here at TechEd. But at channel9.msdn.com, we do have a form on there where they can actually ask us questions, which is crazy because we normally don't even take questions. But
well, the chat room. I mean, the chat room. We kind of talk about it in the chat room.
That room is there. But for those of you who are new to the show, what we do is we normally do like four segments. Sometimes a fifth segment kind of sneaks in there. The first segment that we do is called From the Trenches.
From the Trenches.
We would normally have some kind of a sound effect that would fly in here, but we never actually...
We've never actually been professional enough to actually get that sound effect.
Right, so you will get the audio guy on this time. But
yeah.
I got to say, $1.380, man. Like
$1.380 goes a long way in Houston.
All this.
It really does. It really does.
So, what is it? From the Trenches. So
From the Trenches,
I've got a hilarious story that actually just happened about 20 minutes before the show started.
What did you break this time?
Actually, it was not me at all. It was our British intern that broke something this time. So,
we have a British intern?
Unpaid British intern actually broke it this time.
When did we get this?
Did you
bring it back from South Africa in your carry-on or what?
Well, I had to fly through Heathrow.
So, there you go.
But what he did basically was he happened to be using his corporate machine.
Yeah.
To be able to plug into the soundboard, which is actually, I hope, feeding this over to Blog Talk Radio.
Where we are normally.
Where we're normally at Blog Talk Radio. And what happened is basically he did a search for Skype through his browser that starts with a C and ends in an E.
Okay.
And he just wasn't paying attention because I was bothering him to make it done faster and get it done faster. And
yeah, because you were like divifying before the show.
We have to get the audio done correctly. And what he did was he literally typed in Skype in the command line, the browser that starts with C, ends in E.
The
Chrome browser took him to a search engine that's not Bing. And he clicked on the first link. The first link is a sponsored link.
Uh-huh.
And we both got there, and he's like, oh, wow, that's really cool. They've redesigned the Skype webpage. I like that. Click on the big button that says download Skype.
Uh-oh.
What do you think happened?
Do I want to know what happened?
We now have a sample laptop that is going to be used for a case of the unexplained here later today because he's currently sitting there still fighting with his own laptop while monitoring the feed on mine. There's a separation wall between the two of them to be able to try to figure out with Process Explorer all the stuff. The freaking thing put in 8 different auto runs in different locations.
Are you serious?
To be able to ensure that the malware continued to run. It turned off UAC, so that means he had to have had something exploitable on his Chrome browser to be able to have a system-level account go in and turn
or,
it
off. Or, I mean, maybe when he clicked, go ahead and run the XE, I mean, did it have elevated? I don't know.
So all I know is we have to now start to technically vet our interns now to ensure they don't infect the hardware, because that's not good.
You know, if we start vetting people they're going to want to vet us, and that's just not going to work.
No, we definitely don't want to have that. How's the, I see from our teleprompter up on the stage that we have absolutely no one asking us any questions, but.
Hey, if you're watching us on Channel 9 Live, go ahead and ask us some questions. So what we're going to do, this is From the Trenches, so this is where we talk about the things that you've been doing at work.
Right.
Fun stories, chaotic stories, things like, interns. Interns absolutely demolishing their machine. Absolutely demolishing.
But it wasn't me this time. But I was having them do something for me, so maybe that's a guilty or caused by association. You had an interesting thing happen to you on Thursday last week that involved paint.
Oh.
And it was a work-related thing.
So all right.
It's not just me that has these issues.
No, okay. So being the true alleged IT guys that we are, right? Alleged. Yes. I wanted a backup system for the backup system that we were using in our demos when we did the show, when we did our sessions at TechEd on Monday.
Right.
That was Monday, right?
I think it was Monday.
It was a long time ago.
4 days?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, as any good IT guy did, I've got this environment set up back in the secret underground bunker.
Yep.
And totally had access to VPN and everything. And I know I've got a shout out to all the friends from the chat room who kind of helped remind me that I actually need to save the running configuration into the startup configuration.
When's the last time you configured a Cisco router?
Of my Cisco device. Yeah. So I do this, right? And we'll get to that question in just a minute. It is a good one. So I do this. I get everything set up. And I walk out of the office on Thursday to head home to pack because we were getting on the airplane on Friday.
Right.
So I get in, I get home, everything's good, and I'm like, hey, I'm just going to go in and just double check that our checkpoints are still good, everything's still great with everything. So I double click to connect into the VPN, and it's like, no, cannot connect, cannot see. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. So I jump on the link.
Right.
And I look to see who on my team, the audience is getting out of control. The camera must be moving over there.
Look at that. They got a gym and everything, man.
We pay attention, I'm talking.
Sorry, yes, you're saying paint.
Yes.
No? Yes.
No.
What?
Anyway, I finally find somebody who's in the office. And I said, hey, can you just double check that my machine is on? Should have a blue glowy light thing, right?
That's a great way to tell if your machine's on. Everyone look for a blue glowy light.
Well, I have this machine I have is a colored fan.
Right.
What do you want from me? Anyway. No. So blue light is all good. And I'm like, well, something must have happened, something else. Then I get another message that says, are all these wires supposed to be ripped out underneath your desk? Now, they've been repainting and recarpeting inside the secret bunker.
Yeah.
And
the military gray just doesn't cut anymore.
Correct. So they took down all the rails. They did all the wall patching. I thought I was good because they weren't actually supposed to be painting until last night.
Right.
So I thought I'm good to go. Well, apparently they weren't finished patching the walls. So they pull out the desk, and I happen to have... The only time in my life neatly run wires.
You went through some cable OCD, I guess.
I don't know what it was, but I've neatly run wires, and next thing you know, everything's ripped out from the wall.
Nice.
So the backup system was down.
Right.
And I didn't want to tell you that the backup system was down.
Well, that's good because I had a lot of other problems going on at that time, so.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
No, finish yours.
No, that's it. That's
it. Basically, they ripped out all the wires, everything's all gone. We just received notification that the virus was identified that infected our intern's machine.
Yeah.
Apparently, is a new variant of ClawsNet.
Oh, ClawsNet. The ClawsNet virus.
Yes, the ClawsNet virus apparently has taken grip of his machine. Search of it.
We're reading questions.
It's hard. It's carry the one.
Yeah.
How do you see the inability of people to search and filter information to impact IT? You know, actually, if that's related to the virus incident that we happen to have, general rule that I always follow is I never click on the first link on any search engine page if it's sponsored.
You actually go in and pay attention.
I pay attention and just look, whereas our intern actually went ahead and did this.
Let's see. Just looking at the chat room real quick. Looks like Enrique has joined us as is Kyle Rosenthal.
From Australia.
Yes, but he's actually here.
Oh, so this is the first show he's actually able to catch.
Yes.
He's always in a different time zone.
And Sly Dog Jeff 77.
Nice.
Which is different than Sly Dog Jeff 76.
You know, I met him last night. He's a newbie over there. That he's, hey, how's it going, Jeff? Good to
We're
see you,
We're doing a show here.
He's right over there.
I understand.
He's new to tech yet. He's never been here before. And anyway, I met him. He's a nice guy. Had some drinks last night, and we were talking about stuff. Remember, he was the guy during a one-on-one session that said, I haven't built my schedule yet.
Right.
What do I do?
Yeah.
And we're like, seek professional help. Because we're not professional.
Right. Not professional at all.
As you were saying, your machine was all pulled out. It was no good, and it's all there.
So the backup
is done.
That
was our backup machine. Our primary machine was also in a state of chaos at that time because the cluster in the box that I was using was a pre-engineering sample, and it happened to have a bad RAID card. It wasn't using storage spaces, and so it had a bad RAID card that basically went in and corrupted the drives, and so all of our demos were gone. And that's when we
realized. At the same time that the backup is down. Now, here's the thing. I did not tell you that the backup was down for a couple of hours because I was trying to get it back online.
Yeah.
At the same time the backup was down, I actually told you the backup is down and you're like, I'm good.
Because I'm still in the middle of doing something.
But we were not good, were we?
No, but when you troubleshoot something as an IT guy, what you normally end up doing is you just keep on hitting your head against the wall trying to get the thing fixed until it's fixed. But then that's when we realized that, you know, you got to stop doing that and just move on and go to your backup of the alternate backup plan, which was use a different piece of hardware and then recreate. But we didn't have to recreate. We were able to go in bringing in additional hardware. And I was able to resuscitate the old RAID drive controller long enough to get the systems to boot. And then I simply did an export and import of the machine over to the new cluster in the box hardware.
Yep.
But when I imported the machines in, because they were on a 2012 box, one of my machines did not like it because it was a domain controller. 2012 domain controllers that get brought in from an import or an export reset their VM Gen ID. And when they reset the VM Gen ID, they say, I got to contact the primary domain controller emulator, which was the guy that was down. So it was in a continuous loop. When I told that story during our session on Monday, I just look over and I see Ned Pyle sitting in the audience, just shaking his head and putting his hand on his forehead, saying, I can't believe you did that, only having a single domain controller to get that all done.
Hey, taking a look at the chat room, it appears everybody is photobombing the show.
Oh, nice.
As
long as they're taking their turns and doing so in an orderly fashion.
Yes, we don't need any injuries as a result of a photobombing. Right.
Well, we had a problem with Veronica. Was it Veronica?
I don't know.
Vanette, no. Yeah. We have a problem with Veronica. No, she almost brought down the wall of the studio trying to come in for a photo with Ledwig. So be careful of those lower barriers that you don't see. You got to look down and look up. Good job. Good job over there.
I love looking back behind the stage here as producers and everybody are just sitting there with their hand in their heads going, like, what have we gotten into with this show?
That is this. What is the insanity?
This is not what we're used to here. These guys are out of control.
So what do you think? Do you think we covered off the...
So what actually happened?
Call it the Blog Talk Radio link for chat. We'll get another.
Blog Talk Radio /Patch and Switch. You will want to sign up for a free Blog Talk Radio account so that you can participate in the chat room.
Right. If you happen to be listening to this remotely for some reason.
Yes.
But everyone's right over there.
Yeah, everybody. Most of our entire audience
They
is
actually
right
even ran a separate audio feed just for them over there so they could hear us.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
That's how good our audio
is. That's $1.380 worth of audio, guys.
$1.380 worth of work. We've got an entire live stream coming through on this one side over here.
It's fantastic.
Insane.
It's
absolutely insane.
We've spared no expense. At least our expense, because we have no money.
It's coming off of someone else's IO. It's not our IO.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So finish off what happened. So you were in this never-ending loop, and then we got to move segments.
No, it's all right. We were in a never-ending loop. I cannot get the thing up. And then finally I just said, this little light went off above my tilly and said, bing, the sound of found. And it said, dude, treat this like it would be in a cloud environment and treat it as disposable infrastructure. It was disposable virtual machines. So I basically had to go through and rebuild. However, you're going to contradict that story. I can just
tell by
the way you're looking at me right now.
Because you said a light went off at your tilly.
Yes.
That said, let's just rebuild it.
Right.
I do believe that light going off on the Tilly saying, just rebuild it, was me screaming at you with my arms, with my hands wrapped around your throat going, just rebuild it.
Okay.
All right.
That's very true.
That's it. That's from the trenches from this week. The second item on the show list.
Beer money.
Beer money.
Beer money. So beer money, for those of you who joined the show for the very first time, is where we do some level of tech support for friends or family in exchange for beer money. And it could be anything. And actually, the last time I did one of these things, I was on Channel 9 stage, and I happened to be talking to Mark Rusinovich. And Mark Rusinovich, I said, hey, when's the last time you had to perform some kind of a beer money service for an individual?
I just saw this out of the corner of my eye. What? Our camera operator apparently has fallen asleep. That's how entertaining the Patch and Switch show is. The camera operator had fallen asleep.
Are you telling me that the jib that's flying around over there is doing that on autopilot right now?
Apparently.
That's craziness. Craziness.
Anyway.
Beer money. So even Mark Rusinovich still performs beer money tasks for friends and family. And his latest one was his brother-in-law, who could not for some reason install the Office 365 installer for the web. It would not work. It would kept on failing on him. So what do you think he does?
I don't know.
Pulls out Process Explorer.
Oh, well, of course.
Loads it on the machine, and then is able to find out through the tool that there's actually a log file that's being written, and found the log file and went and read the log file, and it was because there was a proxy configuration error that was basically blocking it from being able to...
So Process Explorer led to the log file, which then led to the, hey, we've got a proxy error.
Right, right. And that's it. That's
so when you're doing your beer money support on the various systems that you have, is Process Explorer the first thing that you hit to?
No. Like the most IT guys, what I do is I go ahead and simply check, see what processes are running.
Yeah.
I don't use Process Explorer because I don't have it handy. And then I normally go off and go through and do a restart.
Yeah.
And then see what happens.
Yeah.
But I'm actually trying to tone down the level of tech support I give my house.
Why is that?
Because now all my kids are all using computers now, and it means I've got
I've got like a
small business server level of support agreement I've got to put in place right now at the house.
Do you have a home?
Start negotiating SLAs with me or something.
You have a home SLA?
I'm going to have to have one, I think, because obviously they immediately descend upon me when I come back from a business trip. Besides saying, Dad, hey, love you, see you, nice you to be here. Can you fix this?
And it's so, not working.
No.
You know, I actually had to do a remote beer money call.
You did while you were here?
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Was Minecraft down or something?
That's actually exactly what...
Yes. I pegged it.
Yes, you pegged it. Nice. You pegged it. You absolutely pegged it. So
what was up?
I run a Minecraft server for kids to play on.
It's an HP G8 with dual proc and...
No, it runs up It runs up in Azure or Mark Rusinovich's basement, which is Azure, right?
You don't really have 16 data centers. We only have one.
In his basement.
Yes.
That's all lies. So, with that, apparently there's modes.
There's modes?
There's game modes of worlds that when you start up a server, it's...
It can be creative or it can be...
I don't even know what they are. It's like where you can kind of run around and there's like no it's, yeah, there's like survival.
Survival, that's it, survival.
Then there's the one where like you don't get attacked by like pigs or whatever attacks you. Creepers. I know there's creepers. So apparently, I had actually set when I initially set up the server, I had initially set it up in that, you know, kind of free form. The jib is attacking.
It's getting closer.
This is not good.
I don't know what's going on.
This show is out of control.
Over here. Tech Ed selfie. Quick. Tech Ed selfie.
Here we go.
Notice I didn't actually touch the jib. Would like advance it and like smack me or something like that.
We have spiraled so far out of the level of professionalism.
Minecraft server.
Okay.
Minecraft server. And you had
I had set the level in the mode of the server.
So there's no flying attacking pigs.
But what happens is there was some patching done inside of the Azures.
Yes.
And the virtual machine was restarted, which I was totally cool with because it's like literally like disposable. Shared everything. Yeah, exactly. Apparently, there is actually a command that you have to run to persist that setting. So I got a phone call thinking it was emergency because it was, you know, rather midday-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turns out that I actually had to do the whole
log in and
set it because they were losing.
Our crowd is doing the wave over there, right?
And they're booing as they do it. This is quality blog quality talk radio and live television on the internet.
Oh, it is anyway. True. We actually have a Manic UK has a good question there for us. Why don't you train your kids to provide the tech support and then you get the beer money? That actually could work, I think. I like that one. But speaking of Minecraft servers, my son, I had to explain TCP ports to him about what ports you have to open, 25565, to allow...
That came off a little bit too quick off the top of your head.
To allow Minecraft traffic through on your individual server and Java machine. So he now understands the concept of ports and TCP connections. It's very good. So you were able to get this supported correctly, and they're now back and happy?
They're now back online. Yes, everything's good.
So that if you want to go and join that Minecraft server, it is DJ Joey Snow Minecraft.cloudapp.net.
Enough.
Oh, man. I don't know, Mark Klein. So the reason that you brought physical storage hardware to a conference, is that all about the cloud is? Or IaaS, or is no?
It seems that again, there's this. All we've been talking about here, and I'll change the theme a little bit, and then we'll get right back into the show. Yeah. That all we're talking about is cloud.
Well, we are. Well, to plug our session.
Yes.
We actually did an entire two sessions, actually, part one and part two, about on-premises. Disaster recovery and building your own on-premises environment and lab environment to go through one of the most important things you can possibly do in a lab in a support environment is recreate your environment as good as possible, as accurate as possible, document all the steps, point them to resources. But then we're like, you know what? Let's take advantage of this opportunity and use this recreated environment to go and do a hybrid implementation with Azure to up-level our skills, like leveling up on World of Warcraft.
So one of the things that I talked about, and I've had conversations with a whole ton of people as we go through this, is the definition of cloud.
Right.
So essentially the definition of cloud is a scalable, elastic instances of compute, network, and storage.
Yeah.
That does not mean that cloud is always not on-prem.
True.
Right? True. So, you know, and we've talked about, and it's deployable, fully automated.
Right.
Basically, almost clause-proof, though nothing is truly clause-proof.
Don't say that.
But it's essentially just, hey, you've got these elastic, scalable resources that you can, you know, get a lot of automation around.
Right.
And just because we're talking about it, I mean, look, the question was around all the storage. You brought it to the thing that's all about the cloud. Well, because the cloud is storage, and it doesn't really matter whether that storage is on-premises or if it's running in a hoster or if it's running in maybe Windows Azure or one of the other third-party providers.
Right.
And essentially what it does is that the end game of what our session was about is that you do need to start looking at leveling up. The days of this is my environment, I control every little aspect of this, and are changing because we went from having, you know, app A sits on server A, which is on hardware A, right?
And is being used at 2% and is sitting there.
Right, five users, right? Sally in accounting has her kitty cat wallpaper on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got the second piece, which is we moved to virtualization, where it's like, okay, we took servers A, B, C, and D and all their workloads and put it on number one, right? Yep. Well, now this is just taking it to that whole other level. And it can be done both on-premises or it can be done. The thing about this is that we now need to start responding to the needs of the business versus spending all this time troubleshooting, like the example that we gave in the very first part of the show.
Very much so. This is very deep. But say, this is far more philosophical.
Yeah, but we're not going to...
Never done before.
Look, philosophically, the intern just asked, aren't clouds just drops of water? We need a new intern.
I was about to say, need a new intern. Maybe he's... Maybe they're thinking about the new eSigs or something like that.
Yeah.
The next generation of cloud computing, the eSig. It's water vapor, isn't it?
Keeps stretching.
Vapor? I don't know. I'm trying.
Hey, John says, and just as I go to ask the question.
The intern's getting jumpy. He just cleared the question.
Yeah, he just cleared the question. It was something along the lines of, don't make the mistake that he made with beer money and fixing an aunt's, his aunt's machines, and the aunt doesn't drink, so he got no beer.
Do we have anything going on in the chat room? Like,
you know, Frederick, all over there. Frederick has actually joined us from Sweden.
Sweden, he's over there?
He just got back from a day filled with teaching Hyper-V VMM.
Oh, nice.
We do miss you. We do miss you here.
Yes.
So,
I don't know where the camera is.
We love Frederick. Wish he was here at the Tech Heads in Houston. Nobody else has really kind of joined. Everybody's standing over there looking at us like we're
crazy. I think we've probably had a full cycle of people going through to do photobombs behind us. I don't really know, but
find out
afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, as always, those of you watching on Channel Live, feel free to start interacting. I know this is kind of a little bit different than the type of show that you're used to watching during Tech Ed North America.
A bit wonky.
There's actually another show following us. Which are the dev guys, right?
They don't come right after.
Oh, they don't come right after us?
They're later today.
Oh, they're later today.
They can't handle
Corey Sanders is going to be back on stage.
That man, I tell you, Corey Sanders has got some very nice designer pants.
And according to Jeffrey Snover, right?
According to Jeffrey Snover, he's a very snazzy designer pants wearer. And he actually got me in trouble earlier when I interviewed him with the organization that actually runs the global data centers at Microsoft, because I referred to the Redmond data center, the Redmond Ridge data center. And he had me completely convinced that this was an unannounced data center that no one knew about, that was top secret. And
so you're worried that you've just given up?
I'm like, literally, I turn completely white on stage, and I'm like, I can't believe I just said this. I'm like, gonna have to go and find another job. And it turns out it was not. It is a known data center. It is used as a special R&D testing area. It's not actually used for any live services,
right?
Like Azure and things like that. And apparently, if you're a Microsoftie, we can organize tours of that.
Yeah.
But they still, when they said that, they still said, but you're not allowed to come specifically because of your clausing aura.
See, and I...
They're actually considering moving the data center because I'm even in the region of the data center.
I wonder if global security actually has a picture of you that's sitting in the break room
says,
do not let this man in here. No matter what, do not let this man in here.
Nice.
It's kind of, it's like a most wanted poster. But
This is actually a good transition to our next segment if we're going to be going there. But I'm concerned on time. I have no idea how much time you have left.
Let's see. I can actually, so our clock here is a little different because we are live. So we've got 17 minutes left of the show.
Okay.
On Block Talk Radio, but we've got, I don't know, however many minutes
that's
that our
fine.
Producers
we'll leave that clock is live. But what we can do is when we get close to our normal exit time, we can fire that off.
Okay, cool.
And then we'll just keep
so on. We may have bonus
we'll
coverage
have
on
bonus
on
undocumented Radio. Features, extra footage, the after show reel.
It's overtime.
Going on, OT.
Yes.
The next segment that we normally do is we're actually going to insert the missing segment, which is not just beer money, but beer talk.
Okay.
And I would like to know I'm very happy to know that our favorite beer is available at the Conference Center and at other locations here at TechEd, which is Shinerbach.
Well, our favorite Texas beer.
Let's qualify that.
Favorite
Texas beer. Apparently, Shiner is some small location that's nowhere near wherever we are, and whenever I want to go and drive there, you always tell me it's too far away.
Hey, Kyle Rosenthal in the chat room says, I remember when Patch and Switch used to talk to us.
Kyle, man.
We're getting over there. We will be over there. We will come say hello to you.
Yes, absolutely. I think they're over in the HOL area, are they?
Yeah.
ILLs?
Yeah, we just haven't had a chance to get over there. It's just crazy.
After the show, we'll do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Actually, after the show, we have to go over to Speaker Idol, because Aiden is talking at 12:30.
Absolutely, we got to support him.
Beer talk. So Shinerbach is a nice ale that we have that's here. It's in a bottle. I will say that the draft form of it is much better than the bottle form of it.
So I think
I
think draft form of about any beer is probably better than in a bottle.
We can easily do a poll on this right now to find out. Everyone in the audience over there, if you prefer draft beer, raise your hand.
Over a bottle. Who prefers a bottle?
Who prefers bottle beer?
One guy.
Oh, if it's homebrew, yes.
Oh, if it's homebrew. No, homebrew, we keg it, baby.
Yeah, we keg it.
Always keg the homebrew.
So, I actually was there's a guy, you know this guy, Steve Enns? Is that his name? Loud Steve?
Yeah.
Steve Enns, he's up in the Great White North.
Yeah.
So he actually heard that I was a fan of a particular brew called Fort Garry Dark, because when I go to Winnipeg, I always go to this one pub called the King's Head in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And go for a Fort Garry Dark. And he was not coming to Tech Ed this year. And he actually tasked, I don't know if he's in the audience there right now, he tasked one of his minions to bring down and be a mule to bring me some Fort Garry Dark. And so I actually have four tall boys of Fort Garry Dark in the crew fridge. No, I should not have said that because the crew is probably going to go and drink it. the plan is that we're going to have a little sampling and a taste test soon, because the main overall director of Channel 9, the director of Channel 9 is a Winnipegger.
And, oh, yeah?
And he's like, dude, where'd this Fort Garry Dark come from and why was I not informed? And I said, well, I didn't know you're from Winnipeg.
You had no idea it was from Winnipeg? So we've been working with him for like 3 years.
I know, but the good part is now we have an in. I can like sneak him a little bit of Fort Garry Dark. He'll allow us to continue to do the shows, and it's all good.
Fantastic, because he let us actually have this
time slot
that we have here.
Yes.
Into the chat room real quick, I want to shout out to Rigsby, who's made it, who is actually listening. He has Blog Talk Radio open in one tab. He has Channel 9 Live open in the other, and he gets this weird kind of delayed reverb stereo effect going on.
Nice. If I had the studio up right now, I would also probably be pressing the air horn button just for Mr. Rigsby. He's also not here. So
we won't
Rigsby,
do that.
Pretend that there's an air horn right now.
That's very loud.
Okay,
stop it.
Here we go.
Stop it.
I tried. I'm all sorry. Right. I tried.
Peter
another
Gray.
Beer story? Another beer story for you? Do you have?
Well, real quick, Peter Gray loves your shirt.
Thank you. This was actually a gift from my Canadian brethren, who's not paying attention over there, Pierre Romain.
Huh?
Pierre Romain. Uh-huh. Which camera?
Stand up.
Where's the camera?
Center.
Where's the jib?
Center.
Okay, center?
Center.
There we go. The cloud is strong in this one. This is from developermovement.ca, and it's an environment where they're able to go in and support student developers and support new developers to get into the Microsoft stack, to get into programming and IT in general. And develop apps and that sort of stuff. And he managed to find one, although technically it is contraband. Do you know why it's contraband?
Why is it contraband?
I don't know if you can see this here.
Oh, it's got the old logo.
It's the old logo.
Oh.
And even worse, take a look at the back.
Oh, it's Windows Azure and
it's
the old logo.
Windows Azure.
And the old logo.
The old logo. Hey, there's the guy that, right there, wave. He's the guy that brought me the beer.
Okay, right. Awesome.
So yes,
Rigsby also says, it was Frederick that says, listening to the voice quality, it sure sounds like a good conference.
It is. Well, it's
you
been a great
don't have a voice left.
I know. It's because there's this DJ that keeps on playing these awesome sets that I need to get up and get the crowd excited because I can't do anything with music, and I'm a really bad dancer.
Exactly. So,
I can make music, but as far as actually
and it's also stuff, it's also the fact that we get to be social, and this is the one time of the year we actually get to sit with all
like,
these great people.
This is summer camp for IT geeks, is what this is.
Hey, Jeffrey K on the live stream asks, where can I get a patch? Where can I get patch and switch action figures?
You know what? We need to make bobbleheads.
I want action figures, man.
Action figures?
Yeah.
What action figure would you be? What would you be?
Well, it's patch and switch. I mean,
what would your superpower?
Maybe like a grappling Cat 5 cable or something.
I like that one there.
Cat 5. I don't know. I don't have superpowers.
I know. It's like I probably didn't have a keyboard.
You'd have what?
A keyboard with magical powers. I could type stuff into the keyboard and it would just happen.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Done. Done.
What would be the accessories?
Beer opener.
Beer opener.
Beer opener would be one of the accessories. So there was a good question that came up. I forget who asked on the interactive area, which was, have you had any good tech gadgets recently, which filters into our fourth segment, which is, carry the one, it's actually fourth. No, it's
all right, move
whatever.
On.
Random spending.
Okay.
Random spending.
So first of all, let me tell you this. Being here at this conference and going and talking to all these vendors here at the Tech Expo, my wallet is going to be empty if I went and bought all of these things that I saw that are here that are really cool. But
would not be good.
There is something that we have talked about on this show about random spending that we've already done random spending segment on.
Right.
Which has saved my sanity.
Which is
the Hutu.
The Huawei Hutu?
Yes.
By Huawei?
No.
Huawei.
That bit is so dead.
Huawei. Is that it?
It's like 3 weeks old.
Huawei?
Move along. It was three shows ago.
Huawei. 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 Got it.
You mute your mic.
Huawei. Sorry.
This thing, so when you get this pure contra... The audience is out of control. When you get this pure concentration of people here, they were talking about... Can you listen and we do a show here? It's all right.
I can't hear what they're saying.
Okay. So... You get a concentration of geeks, as you can hear over there doing Mind Mind. We've lost control of the show. When you get this concentration of geeks in one spot, we were chatting with folks that run the networking here.
Right.
And they talked about that during the keynote.
Right.
The 2.4 gigahertz spectrum, they don't even turn on.
So that's a tip for all of you. For keynotes, 2.4 gigahertz. No. Not even turned on.
Not even turned on. Why don't they turn it on?
They don't turn it on because just the polling from all the devices that are cell phone based and that sort of stuff that are looking for 2.4 gigahertz connectivity consumes 90% of the available spectrum to find it in the first place. So if you have any chance of being able to do stuff, you should be using a Windows phone which has a 5 gigahertz.
Yeah.
As well as 2.4.
Right. So,
obviously,
but even with that you get... network overload.
Right.
And we do our best here at the conference to do what we can to keep it up and running and get it running. But when you're in a hotel, has this much of a concentration of geeks, the Wi-Fi is essentially brought to its knees.
Oh, it's not even the Wi-Fi. At the hotels, the main link is even just saturated to get out.
But check this out. At my hotel, I've got the Hutu, which is a 1600 milliamp battery,
right,
along with a Wi-Fi bridge,
media sharing device,
and media sharing. Right, we've talked about this on the show before. It's super awesome. Connect this into the wired internets. Jump right on, boom.
Nice.
And then I can connect my other devices to it as well.
Right.
So I was actually able to do, for all of the 15 minutes that I've actually been in my room in the 3 days of the conference, I was actually able to get some email.
Nice.
So, it was...
just even using my own Lumia 1020, Nokia Lumia 1020, with wireless access point mode sort of worked for me. I was actually remoting into our lab environment on...
they put a night guy on the gym.
Nice.
There's a night guy on the gym. Well done. Well played. They're bringing it to us. Is this how production is communicating with us now?
I love it.
That's awesome.
I'm nervous it's going to like touch me. I'm going to break something on that.
Yeah, don't go near it.
Should I take it?
Take it off?
Okay, let me get that. Thank you. All right, I can put Mini-Jit on there. If you wanted to.
Skydog Jeff wants to ask at your hotel, how many quarters does it take to spin the bed?
There we go. I haven't been in a hotel that actually had one of those vibrating boxes in ages. But the last time I did, we were traveling.
Was it in Winnipeg?
No, we were traveling across Canada. And I think it was just outside of Moncton, New Brunswick. And there was this motel we had to crash at because it was really, really late. The kids freaking loved it. It was better than like a candy machine or something like that. They took all the freaking change out of the car and just kept on putting money inside this damn thing and jumping up and down on the bed. Nuts.
So what have you got in terms of random spending action? Is there something tech-wise that you've seen here or something that you've realized after being at a conference of these geeks that you absolutely have to buy?
For me, I would have to say... it's kind of random spending, but it's not because it's a loaner. I'm going to have to still go with my good friends at Data On
yeah.
with the cluster in the box because they saved my bacon.
Yes.
So
when the backup went down.
The backup went down.
And the backup to the backup was
and
down.
The backup to the backup was down because of the painters and the cables.
Yes.
Being able to have another box that was just about to be used after Tech Ed for something, I was able to get that guy spun up. The best part about it was, though, this was the first time that I've actually seen the out-of-box experience for creating a cluster in the box in the wild. Normally, it's me doing a hacked version that I've created to do a dual configuration. With Cluster in the Box, you actually can have connectivity to one of those physical devices, go through a wizard to have it configured. But it's always been in the wild, plain vanilla. It's the first time I've actually seen it with the Data On guys, where they have customized it and made it.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly something that I would be purchasing just for carry-on luggage, because it weighs about, you know, 150
pounds. You're not just going to run out with the personal expense account and
right.
go take care of that.
If I actually went and used my credit card to buy one of these cluster in the boxes, which, you know, it's around $18,000.
That's nothing.
It's still nothing, but my wife would freak out.
Well, yeah.
If I showed up with a new server, honey, I've got a new media server for us. It's a cluster in the box from Data On. CIB 9220s.
I want to hit this question real quick from Rich. Where should a brand new developer start learning technologies like PowerShell, C-sharp versus Ruby and the like? Let's hit the PowerShell question first.
Okay.
Because that's something that you've had conversations in your interview with Jeffrey Snover about.
Right.
Particularly because you want to talk intimidating. I mean, dude, because we use PowerShell in our sessions, right?
I'm not an expert by any means, but
I mean, at least I've got it. Dude even still makes mistakes, and he wrote it.
His session on Monday, it was Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, go to channel9mstn.com/event/techhead. Look for the stuff. Look for Jeffrey Snover. His session, he told me during the interview, he says, you know what? I'm up there. I'm bashing away at stuff. I'm typing stuff. It's not actually coming out correctly. I've got to fix it. I have to do a get help command on different things. Even Jeffrey Snover does get help. Get-help. That's a good place to start on the PowerShell pieces. But then, like I said, if you have a challenge, you got to do something at work that you would normally just use the GUI for.
Yeah.
Take that extra step and try to figure it out with PowerShell first. And then, if you still can't figure it out, go back over to using the GUI.
So another good place that I'm going to plug for some fantastic content online, MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com.
Yes.
So we do have our normal live Channel 9 audience. We can't always be fun and games.
No, I know.
We do have to answer the real questions.
They pay the bills.
MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com is a fantastic place.
Scripting Center.
So I just did a quick search.
Yes.
I promise I was actually listening.
Don't click on the first link when you do the search.
No, I did a search on Microsoft Virtual Academy.
Okay.
Give me a little credit.
You got it.
Getting started with PowerShell 3.0 Jumpstart is a great place to go.
He did that with, Snover and Hicks.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, they did a whole day.
It looks like there's 9 modules plus some recommended next steps. So that's MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. Check there. Then there's advanced tools and scripting with PowerShell 3. And then I also know there's a lot of fantastic learning around developer technologies on Microsoft Virtual Academy. You can also check out msdn.microsoft.com for some.
Yeah.
These dev guys, they just see it like a help file, basically, and it just absorbs into their brains, apparently. At least that's what they tell me.
Okay, I've been asked to do a time check just quickly on the official site.
The official time check is 1 minute left on our official show.
Okay.
On the official show. Are we going with this clock?
Are we going with this clock?
All right, we're going with this. So.
Why don't you press the button on that one over there just to say goodbye to that audience?
In 1 minute, we will say goodbye to that audience.
Okay, no problem. Let me see. Random spending that one there. We can do a naming segment, or should we?
We'll
save the naming segment for the people in the audience.
That are absolutely here. Yes.
Although they're probably going to shout out very inappropriate things. There is no 7 second delay. It's no 7 second delay.
They would never do that. Which is why they're encouraging the jib operator to do things like give us a 9 guy.
That's in there.
Really quickly, for those of you listening here on Blog Talk Radio, this is about the time that we need to say goodbye to the band. They're late.
Yes. The strings are caught in the front up here. Their cello is fighting for space.
Yes.
So
the band is late, but we're going to say goodbye to you guys on Blog Talk Radio. We will be back again for our regularly scheduled show
in two weeks' time. Are we going to go back to a new 2-week schedule?
We
have to work it out with Yin Yang and a Bang.
Yes.
Yin Yang and a Bang is coming up at 2:15 today live. But then we have to go back to another schedule on some other things too. always say, no, it's not there. Go ahead. My producer's freaking out. He's like, what? Oh, check my email. Okay, I'll check my email.
There you go.
See what's going on. I might have some work to do, apparently.
All right. So just real quick, for those folks that are in the chat room, I just want to kind of really quick, if you're listening on Block Talk Radio, send a shout out, Can IT Pro, Enrique Esposito, Frederic, Jay Shock, who's here, Kyle, who's listening elsewhere, Rigsby,
yeah, buddy,
we and Skydog Jeff. For those of you on Block Talk Radio, this is where we say goodbye. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks. And that show's ended, and now we're back here on Channel 9 Live. All right, overtime. Hey, Harold asked where he can get your T-shirt for free.
Harold, you know what? If you can find me on the Twitters, Rickster CDN, drop me a line, buddy. We'll see what we can do. No promises. I have no idea about inventory because they are contraband. We'll find out.
On the previous question about learning PowerShell, Kyle Rosenthal shouted up in the chat room saying that the virtual labs on TechNet are a good place to start.
It's a good sandbox. Safe sandbox.
Good information. You can get
great Corey Hines actually lets me use those.
Really?
And they don't blow up.
Well, it's because you're nowhere physically near them.
I know.
Doesn't let me
beta test the new stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's still, you know, working, but he lets me use them once in a while.
In the chat room, Rigsby says PowerShell DSC for Linux will be rather a game changer.
It is. Totally there. And it is. And Snover announced it.
On your show.
Well, DSC? Was DSC or just PowerShell?
I don't remember.
It's DSC. DSC and PowerShell for Linux. Yes, it is true. He did announce it.
Right on your show.
Yeah, my interview.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. And Unix as well, thank you. It's amazing that we were able to do this kind of stuff, eh? What would you say?
Peter Gray has apparently joined us as well because he's actually started shouting out words for the show.
What would you say would be your coolest moment you've done so far here at TechEd this week? Since we're here at TechEd, this is now only the Channel 9 audience. What would you say, coolest moment?
Oh, I mean, that's hard because obviously the networking and the fun and games that we have, and DJing that party when the rain started pouring down, and you can check me out on the Twitters, and you can see I actually took a selfie with about 300 people in the pouring down rain, just going absolutely nuts. So yeah. It was fantastic there. From a technology standpoint, sitting in the keynote and seeing the information, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to get to the breakouts, but seeing that Hyper-V recovery environment being able to move that out to Azure.
Yeah.
Also the Azure file stuff. I would have killed to have had that Azure files, I believe. Sorry, branding police, if you get me there.
it's in pre-release, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, okay. Basically where files can be shared between virtual machines running up in Windows Azure. That's huge. Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
It's definitely very, very huge. For me, I would have to say it would be talking with Corey Sanders.
Yeah?
He's a very interesting character. what I will say. He likes to torture his people that he's talking with, just like you do, actually. Maybe it's just me that I get tortured a lot by people sometimes.
I think it's the hat.
It's the hat?
Yeah.
No, the hat's got like a stronger personality, I think.
Oh, I gotcha.
Based on the fact that it has its own, you know, entertainment.
So there's a rumor going around that you actually tweet for the hat.
Okay, let me dispel this. Right now, more than likely, I'm sure that the hat has tweeted at least a couple times during the show. And I have no device to be able to tweet with, so I do not have access to be able to do the Twitters for that particular hat. And in fact, Spoons, wherever he is somewhere here, Spoons was amazed because he's like, he actually had an argument with the hat as we were talking during our session because he's like, how are you tweeting?
It's not because we're on stage presenting, talking, right?
And the hat's tweeting. So the hat has an auto tweeter somewhere that goes off and does different things.
I think it's about time to name the show, and then we'll do some housekeeping for the rest of the day.
Okay,
here on the Channel 9s.
So, do we take Peter Gray's word? He was the first one up that we saw, but technically it's a foul because it was given outside of the parameters of the naming sequence.
Do we actually have parameters?
normally we only accept words from the audience, usually in a chat room, during the time when we announce that we're doing the naming segment.
So we've broken so many rules during this broadcast with the fact that we had nine guys playing on jib cameras, the jib camera flying around and almost knocking us
in
the face.
An entire production studio.
And our camera guy is still dozed off asleep over there. So I really, they just woke him up.
Oh.
They just, and he fell back asleep again. We've broken so many rules on this broadcast at this point. I just don't even know where to go. So we'll take, and they cleared it out. Oh. Peter Gray says, learning PowerShell, best way to figure it out is to find something that you do over and over again manually than being how to do it with PowerShell. I agree with you. Figure it out on the PowerShell.
So we literally are down to the last minute and 35 seconds.
So shout out. So what was the word?
A shout out from the crowd for one word.
Appropriate, please.
Appropriate, please. One word for the start of the naming sequence.
Bork.
Okay. I think Bork works. Bork works very well.
I'm going with Jib.
Jib?
Jib.
This has been so freaking crazy.
Yes, because the jib has been out of control on this show.
And I'm going to have to say Clawsnet.
Bork, Jib, Clawsnet.
Bork, Jib, Clawsnet.
That is the title for the next show that is going to be blogtalkradio.com/patch and switch in 2 weeks' time. Hey, those of you watching at home, we have got some exciting, exciting .NET Q&A coming up with the man, Dan.
Yes.
Fernandez.
They're already all suited up and jacketed and ready to go.
They're ready to go there. Also coming up later today on Channel 9 Live, our brothers in developer world and cloud world with Yin Yang and a Bang. And then there's awesome sessions. I'm just looking really quick. Oh, VDI deployment walkthrough is coming up for those of you watching at home.
So what are we going to do? The band's not even here anymore. They left because we already played them out. So maybe we should end it over here for the last 15 seconds. Thank you, audience.
Thank you, everybody.
Give us a big round of applause over there. These guys make it over there.
The microphone was plugged in.
They didn't plug it in.
So who knows if we've been on air. Stay tuned for more Channel 9 Live from Tech Ed North America. Good?